Hey, Northview, I'm on my study break right now, working on messages for later this year. We enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to get away for a while, but we miss being there with you guys on the weekend. But I have a great staff that I can depend on, and one of those guys is Dave Hootke, who is the campus pastor of Northview's Greater Lafayette campus. It's exciting times for the Lafayette campus. They're in the process of getting ready to break ground this spring on a new building. Dave is a great communicator, and I know you're in for a treat this weekend as he continues in our series, Family Matters, with a message called Singled Out. Will you guys give Dave a great big Northview welcome?
Thank you. It is great to be here with all of you today. I want to welcome all of our campuses. And so I want to welcome our Fishers campus. I want to welcome our Greater Lafayette campus. And for the very first time, I get to welcome our Westfield campus. And it's exciting what God is doing in Westfield. And I want to welcome all of you here at our Carmel campus as well. And so we are in a series called Family Matters. And today we are talking about singleness. And so in honor of David Letterman, an Indiana native, I've got a top 10 list for all of us today. Here we go. Top 10 great things about being single. Number 10, you can play Call of Duty in your underwear at 30 and no one will judge you. Number 9, realizing that you are secretly the envy of most of your married friends. Number 8, no need to hide your special stash of food. Number 7, you don't have to hear, I have a headache 5 days a week. Come on, who put that in here? Number 6, you don't have to pretend you have a headache 5 days a week. Seriously. Number 5, what's yours is yours, and what's yours is, well, yours. It's good. Number 4, no monster in law. Everybody grumbles at that one. Number 3, no Dutch ovens. Seriously, who does that? Come on. That's horrible. Number 2, your recommended selection on Netflix is actually for you. That's a good thing. And here we go. Number 1, great thing about being single, no minivan. No minivan. There you go. Top 10 list. I think we need to pray after that. I think we need to pray. Well, let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful to be here today, to worship you, to gather as the body of Christ, to be reminded of who you are and your faithfulness, Lord, that our hope is in you. God, we thank you for just all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. It's just incredible, Lord. We're just so excited and so amazed at all that you're doing. Lord, right now, I just want to lift up maybe those here today that might be a guest, might be in church for the first time or back in church for, they haven't been in a while. Lord, I just pray that you would just encourage them. Let them know that they matter to you, God, that you love them and you have a purpose and plan for their life. And so, God, I just pray that you would speak today, that my words would be your words, that your spirit would be in this place. And God, we thank you for your love for each and every one of us. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, we've been in a series called Family Matters. We kicked off the series talking about marriage. And then for the last 3 weeks, Steve has shared what kids need from adults. Today, I'm going to be sharing about another part of life, singleness. And even if you're not single, I pray that you can pull out some practical tips in this message that can apply to any stage of life. And at some point in all of our lives, we have been or will be single. Maybe you've never been married, or you're a single parent. Maybe you're divorced, or you're a widow or widower. I can't fathom all that you've had to deal with and go through, but can I just say, you guys are amazing. Maybe you're looking to find that Mr. or Mrs. Right, and maybe you're just content at where God has you in life, and you want to see how God can best use you. I can't say I understand every situation because I'm not single, However, I've talked with friends and family in various stages of singleness. And I want to look at Scripture and see what God says about singleness to encourage you with. The Scripture we're going to look at today is one of the only texts that we have outside the broad scriptural principles dealing with wisdom and sexuality that pertain to singleness and marriage. Marriage and singleness concern both God's mysterious will. The mystery of, do I marry this person? Do I remain single? Do I go on Match.com or ChristianMingle.com? Some of you are praying and asking God to reveal to you if the person you are with now is who you should spend the rest of your life with. Some of you are seeking wise counsel as whether or not you should pursue a relationship with someone and how that looks to follow God's leading and not your own self-seeking desires. Before we look at some challenges of being single, benefits of singleness, and next steps, I want to look at a theology of singleness found in Scripture. So many times I've noticed we can make an idol out of pursuing marriage or a family. We focus so intently on this path happening in our timing that we forget God may want to work on some stuff in our lives or teach us some valuable lessons or give us wisdom along the way. Our culture has pushed this message even from when we were little. We're led to believe that there's a soulmate out there and that we need to search for this bubbly, you complete me feeling of falling in love that should happen and when we do find them. The message to those who are single or not dating is that you won't be content or complete unless you're in a relationship. My daughters are 8 and 6, and this has already begun in their minds. After watching certain Disney movies, they talk about who they want to marry. And I just say, you're not getting married for a long time, and you're not going to date until you're 20. Well, the subtle message that they have picked up on from these movies, though, is if you don't have a prince, then you can't be a princess. Kyle Eidelman, in his book, Gods at War, our popular culture tells us that love makes the world go round, and all you need is love. Pick your cliche, but what seems clear is that romantic love is the most important subject that we have. The Beatles tell us that all we need is love. Robert Palmer might as well face it, he's addicted to love. Meatloaf assures us that he would do anything for love. In fact, he would run into hell and back. Yet I'm confused because later he says, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. What does that refer to? I won't watch a chick flick. I won't put the toilet seat up. What is he talking about? But my point is, in Western culture, we have made an idol out of romantic love. Romantic love is a good thing, but when we make it essential to life, it becomes a false god or idol. In his book, A Community of Character, Stanley Hauerwas talks about how Christianity was the very first religion or worldview that held up single adulthood as a viable way of life. He points out that Tiberius Caesar at one point made it a law that any woman under a certain age that became a widow had to get married in 2 years. How would you like that? The idea is that if you were a single person, you are a hindrance on society and an embarrassment to yourself. There was no honor without family honor. There was no individual honor. There was no legacy without kids. Christianity came in the first century and had a different message. When you read the New Testament, it says widows were not forced to marry in any way. There was no pressure on them. And that's what's so radical. In the Bible, it talks about how the poor Christian widows were supported by the church financially and in every way. Why? The implication is that it's okay to be single. So Christianity becomes the first worldview and religion to say that it's okay to be single. In fact, Paul says preferable to be single. So let's look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start out in verse 8 and 9. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Maybe you have a smartphone and you can turn into your YouVersion Bible app. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9, and then we're going to skip ahead and go to verse 32. It's going to be on the screen as well. Starting in verse 8. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Go to verse 32. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. How can he please the Lord? But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can he please his wife? And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can she please her husband? I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. The theology of singleness is this. If you want to get married, great. If you want to remain single, great. Paul was single. Jesus was single. The perfect human was single. And the point is, Jesus, the perfect being, didn't need to show perfection by getting married. At the end of the day, marriage cannot complete us or provide everything we need. There's only one person that can bring total fulfillment and joy. And that is Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. And if you are single, this is where it begins, with Jesus. It begins with the relationship with him because he is our everything. He is our hope. And he is the only one that can truly fulfill us. You know, Christian artist Toby Mack said, every day I ask God to bring people into my life who are more passionate about him than I am, so that I will be spurred on to a greater depth in my own relationship with him. Verse 35, we see the logic of how to recognize when a relationship is appropriate or when it should be avoided. Verse 35 says, whichever state enables one to live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord is preferable. Undivided devotion. Whether single or married, our devotion is to be first to the Lord. However, Paul knows that if we get married, there will be conflict and added worries to keeping our devotion to the Lord. We have a spouse and possibly kids to add to that. That creates a divided devotion. Should we conclude that Paul doesn't hold a high view of marriage or that he desires all Christians to remain single? No. Deciding to get married is not a sin. Paul was able to remain single. He felt called to a celibate life. And this gift is not for everyone. For others, marriage would be a detriment to ministry. This is a matter of knowing your calling. 1 Corinthians 7:28 says, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. However, if you are single and do want to get married, understand the implications and the weight of getting married. There are worries and pressures of taking care of another person and having children. Those that are married or have been married can understand that. Paul is wanting to understand the implications of what you walk into in a marriage relationship. The covenant relationship that will take place. Now, the word here for trouble is a Greek word that means to press together, and it was used to describe the crushing of grapes to produce juice. And so what you've got in marriage is two sinners pressed together. And in that intimacy where we are less than perfect, there's going to be some trouble. I don't know a perfect marriage out there. However, marriage with hard work is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. But Paul is trying to spare you trouble if you're not prepared and ready emotionally for it. Marriage, you see, is the solution to only one thing, just one, and that is the will of God. If God wants you married and for all the right reasons in your heart that you believe that's his purpose for you, pursue it. But if you have the gift of singleness, Paul encourages you to be single. See it as that, the gift of singleness, because our time alone with God is a gift that we can give him. Our time without distractions of a relationship can be an amazing way that we can pour out our lives to others for him. So we've talked about some of the challenges of marriage. But what about the challenges of being single? I pray that those of you who are single will feel some validation and encouragement in these next points. So if you have your notes, pull those out. The challenges of being single. Number one, being alone. Being alone. This is an emotion that everyone will deal with in some way. I've talked to many who are single right now, and I'm seeing this personally with my mom. This is a real struggle. My dad passed away a year ago, and my mom never envisioned her husband passing away right after he turned 60. However, her struggle with loneliness has been real and painful. And many of you battle with loneliness, and you hate that when you leave somewhere, you have to go back to an empty, quiet house. However, we think loneliness can be defined as the absence of people, whether physically or emotionally. So we think, if I just surround myself with people all of the time, I will fix this loneliness. And when that doesn't work, we think, well, we need more considerate people in our lives. I need people to meet all my needs. I need people to look out for me. However, our expectations of people will always fall short. I believe loneliness is not just an absence of people. It's a spiritual issue as well. Paul Matthews says, if you're lonely, have you ever thought about coming to God and offering it to him as a gift in worship? In saying, I've tried everything to fix it and I can't. I've tried filling it with everything I can think of. I've tried filling it with people. I've tried seeking you and I don't know what to do with it. So I'm just going to offer it up to you. Can you take this ugly thing and make it something beautiful? Elizabeth Elliot said, loneliness is a wilderness, but through receiving it as a gift, accepting it from the hand of God and offering it back to him with thanksgiving, it may become a pathway to holiness, to glory, and to God himself. In Philippians 3:10, Paul uses this phrase, the fellowship of his sufferings. And so many of us love to enter into the fellowship of God's joy. We all want that. But Scripture also calls us into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And sometimes we don't need to avoid the pain or numb the pain. We need to look at that pain and ask God for a deeper joy. That deeper joy comes from finding that Christ is the only one to sustain me in my loneliness. He is the only one who's going to fulfill me. He's the only one who I can count on to be there to help me through this. And the wilderness is that season of our lives where God, through our loneliness, teaches us that his will is to do something in us, not merely do something for us. Walking by faith and not by sight, God works in us a stronger faith, leading to a deeper worship that results in a greater joy. Even in our loneliness, we can go to God's word, and we can be reminded that he is with us and that he is for us. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And I know some of us, we need that right now in our lives. We need to let God come in and let him hold us up when we can't by ourselves, because he wants to do that for us. 1 Peter 5:7, I love this verse. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Another challenge, number two, feeling unfulfilled. Do you feel that you're always the bridesmaid, never the bride? Always the groomsman, never the groom? All of your friends seem to be finding someone or getting married. Maybe now they're having kids and you feel unfulfilled because you thought you would be married with kids by now. Maybe you have kids but no spouse and this is not the plan that you had for your life. Can I encourage you not to find your fulfillment in what the world tells you the life plan should be. The comparison game only steals your joy. God is in the details of each of our lives, and each of our lives look different. Being single doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. It simply means there's a bigger picture unfolding in your life. It's important to use this time to become healthy and whole, but never at the expense of degrading yourself. On a side note, our culture pushes the message, if you are single, you have to have sex to be fulfilled, or that it's not possible to wait until marriage for sex. If that's true for you, then Jesus hasn't affected your worldview. You are essentially saying Jesus is not enough for you, or you don't care about the parameters he wants to set so that you will not get hurt or be tied to unnecessary emotional baggage. The reality is that Jesus is enough for you. And the enemy from the beginning, back in the Garden of Eden, was putting lies out there. The serpent said, oh, you will not surely die if you eat the fruit, but your eyes will be opened. He's basically saying, if you obey God, you won't be happy. You will miss out. You'll miss out. And isn't that the lie our culture is trying to tell us as well? That lie distorts what God truly has for you. He has blessing and joy for you when you follow him. He wants to fulfill you and bring contentment. He wants to give you peace and love and belonging. He knows your name and he knows your needs. He also wants us to understand that sex is best when we wait for it in marriage where it's designed for. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that says that you're missing out or that this act of marriage will truly fulfill you. Okay, when I talked with singles about unfulfillment, the common answer for how they keep their minds from buying into the lies of unfulfillment was to stay busy. Here's some ways that they said they stayed fulfilled. Go on a mission trip. So many times this stirs a passion in you for those in need locally and globally. It takes you out of your comfort zone. You know, there's some amazing go trips this coming year to Nicaragua, India, Haiti, South Africa. And going on a go trip helps us see that God is bigger than we can even fathom, that he's working around the world, and that we can be impacted to be used in the kingdom of God, and that we can come back fired up to live life on mission where we live. Get into a life group. If you're not into a life group, I want to encourage you to take a step to get into a life group and find community in a life group. Plan trips, activities with friends, family. Plan events that you look forward to or experiences that will challenge or stretch you. Find ways to bless others. I'm going to talk more about this in just a bit. Serve in a ministry in a deeper, more meaningful way. Don't just show up to serve once a month here and there. Dive in and find your God-given passions and use them. Another challenge, number three, feeling unvalued. Feeling unvalued. Maybe you feel marginalized. Single people can be overlooked in many ways, even in the church. And maybe your married friends don't take your advice as serious as they would if it came from someone who is married. Maybe you're in a season where you don't spend the time with your married friends like you once did when they were single. So you're looking for value in other ways. Relevant Magazine had several articles online about being single. And one of the great things that they pointed out was God calls you to look up. Look up at what he's doing in your life and to look around at all he has given you. Don't allow your thinking to fall in these extremes of seeing what everyone else seemingly has that you don't, because your perspective of their lives is not the full truth. You are valued. God values you. You're not forgotten. Remember, God has a plan. Psalm 139, 13 through 15 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay, three benefits of being single. Being single, you can, number one, focus on your relationship with Christ. Focus on your relationship with Christ. This can be a great time and season for you to focus on your walk with God. Make your relationship with Christ the most important relationship in your life. Make time for God's word and be intentional with growing in your walk. Go on a discipleship walk. Attend an alpha course. Get into a disciple square relationship with someone. Don't know how to focus or grow your relationship with Christ? Seek help and wisdom from someone you know that is growing in their walk with God. Number two, focus on God's work. Focus on God's work. Right now, don't let the opportunity to fully focus on God's work pass you by. Get engaged and active using your gifts for God's kingdom. Don't know your spiritual gifts? Take the SHAPE class. You can check out the dates for this class in the ministry catalog. And this is a great time in life to focus on the part you play in the kingdom of God. Figure out how to serve through outreach. Be creative and find ways to bless others so that God's love shines through you in a way that is undeniable to others. Take someone a meal. Babysit. Love on some Northview church staff kids. Yes, it's a good one. Or your boss's kids. Kids in a family of an overwhelmed parent. Your nieces and nephews or grandkids. We have been blessed by so many singles who have poured out into our kids. Go the extra mile at making something special for work or for a friend. Make a list of some people that you want to send notes of encouragement to. Basically, use this time to not get caught up in yourself, but to pour out your gifts, especially in those times when you feel loneliness or discontentment creeping in. Number three, focus on God's family. Right here around you is the family of God. This is the family of God around us. We are so blessed to have the body of Christ and the family of God here together to journey life through and to rely and encourage each other and to do life together. Singles, rely on the family of God. Don't have a family? Merge into one or create one with others who are in the same season of life as you. Dive into a family that you admire and start gaining wisdom and insight on how a godly family functions. Become a surrogate aunt, uncle, or grandparent to others who may live far from their biological family or just need those type of healthy relationships in their lives. Here's where we can be challenged as a church. Check in on the single people around you. Those you see here at church, at work, in our neighborhoods, encourage them. Invite them for supper. Offer to watch their kids if they have little ones. And include them into your family. We're going to be spending eternity together, so let's get used to looking out for one another now. What are some next steps I can take being single? Number one, stay in God's word. Stay in God's word. I love this passage of scripture in Psalm 23:1-4. This is the Living Bible version. It's worded so wonderful. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And that's so good to hear. When the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything we need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. Anybody here today need new strength? He helps me do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. And the key is contentment. When God is not your shepherd, you will always want. You won't have everything you need. You will always want what other people have. And when you're married, you have a spouse to point out when you're being selfish. When you're not married, you need scripture to reveal it to you. Begin the day with God, not with social media. Go to God's word first and let his words direct your life. Let his words direct your day. Let God's word give you purpose and meaning so that your day is filled with God's word and not what other people are posting on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. May God's word direct our life and may it begin our day with him and purpose and meaning. John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." God's word fills us with life, and they direct our paths for righteousness. Number two, be healthy. Work toward being physically, spiritually, and emotionally healthy. Physical exercise is not about looking good. And don't misinterpret this as me saying that you have to be physically fit to find someone. I'm not saying that at all. It's about feeling good. It's about getting some fresh air or changing your pace in a day so that you can redirect your thinking. Get a gym membership if you need to. Work out from home or get the Tony Little Gazelle because this guy is amazing, right? I don't know if you've seen those infomercials, but man, they are legendary. The point is, work on getting healthy. Work on being spiritually healthy. A great way to be spiritually healthy is to have someone older or wiser than you pouring into you. This is great no matter what age we are. And scripture is full of having wise people speak into our lives. Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Proverbs 19, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." I need older and wiser people pouring into my life. And if you don't have someone pouring into you, you tend to get hung up on the wrong things or focus on the negative. You may even be self-absorbed and not realize it and need the gentle or not so gentle words of another to help you see clearly. Find someone and ask them to have coffee and meet with you. Get emotionally healthy. Don't be afraid to get counseling. If you are having trouble sorting through some things, feel depressed, or have gone through some difficult circumstances in life, take the time to talk to a professional. Earlier last year, I myself went through counseling to deal with the death of my dad and the emotions that came with it. Don't be afraid to seek help, to work through those things so that you can get healthy. Number three, get out of debt. The biggest stressor in marriage is money. Our culture has such a problem of debt. Proverbs 22:7, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." Luke 14:28, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" Right now, you can have a budget and be disciplined in that budget. You can start paying off school loans and debt you might have so that if you do get married someday, you can be a blessing in the area of finances. You can already have good habits build up. If you're single and in a later stage in life, use this time to focus in on paying off debt so that you'll be able to bless others and not live under the stress of money issues. And this is not always easily done if you have a limited income. But figure out ways to stretch what you have. Get a roommate, cancel cable, buy less stuff. Listen, married or single, the grass is not always greener on the other side. Marriage is not like a romantic comedy that's filled with rainbows and unicorns, puppies and flowers. Marriage comes with its own set of challenges. And in the same way, being single is not one big party where you don't have to worry about anyone else and get to spend time and endless amounts of money on whatever you want. Being single comes with its own set of challenges. Enjoy where God has you at this time. Use your time wisely. Spend more of it with God. Work on being the best Christ follower that you can be. Practice contentment and bless others around you. None of us like to wait on things. Yet a lot of our lives are spent waiting for something. Waiting to hear back from an employer. Waiting in line at Target. Waiting for test results from a medical diagnosis. Waiting for answered prayers to happen. We don't like waiting. However, some of God's greatest gifts come because we waited and trusted that His plan was better than ours. It's better to be single than to wish you were single. It's better to be single than to wish you were single. Don't settle. Wait for God's best. Be patient in the waiting period. Singleness will most likely come with longing, loneliness, and sadness. God's timing is so perfect as well as His plan. When we think we're ready to quit being single and life isn't happening like we want, look for God's hand in the waiting period. James 1:4 reminds us to let patience have her perfect work. I want to close with this verse. Psalm 27:14 reminds us to wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Well, right now, I'm going to hand it back to our campus pastors and to Mark Kroll at our Greater Lafayette campus. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just come before You right now. We thank You that no matter what stage our life is in, that You absolutely love us. You value us. We matter to You, and so much so that You went to a cross and You died so that we could have a relationship with You. God, thank You that our value and our worth is not in what the culture tries to tell us. It's not in even someone else. Our value and worth is in You and You alone. Our hope is in You, God. Thank You. Thank You for the joy of salvation. And thank You that You love us. So, Lord, I pray that You would encourage us, that we can walk out of this place knowing that You love us and that You are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.